You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall, and I'm here with very special guest, Sandra Higgins, who's an independent art advisor and curator, originally from Chicago, but a long-time resident of London, 25 years. That's a long time. It's longer than I've ever lived in London. But is here. She's moved for 6 months here to Columbia. We were put in touch by a mutual friend. And she's an expert in the art world, and really, you know, I have to say, I don't know so much about Colombian art and Latin American art, but this is something that's special for Columbia Calling, because this is a first of its kind. So I'd like to welcome you on the show, Sandra.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you, Richard. It's nice to be here.
You're most welcome. Now, what possessed you to come to Columbia for 6 months?
Well, it started, I suppose, around 4 or 5 years ago. I've always had an interest in all things Latin American. I studied Spanish at the university, much to the chagrin of all my family and friends, because, you know, who wanted to study Spanish a long time ago? I was supposed to be studying French for my art history degree, and then, as I say, fast forward about 4 or 5 years ago, I was invited by the artist Ofelia Rodriguez, who was living in London at the time, but also lives in Cartagena. And so I was invited to come to her home for the Hay Festival. And there were a number of exhibitions that she was invited to, she was showing at museums. So I accompanied her to Santa Marta. Fantastic. She had a reception in the jardin in the at night near the Boulevard sculpture. Oh, it was lovely. Absolutely beautiful, beautiful. And then I went to visit her brother, Marco, in Barranquilla for the carnival. And then I went down to Bogota. And it was a year that just changed my life. I was hooked. I just fell in love with Colombia and all the artists, the people, everything.
I think that's fantastic. And I know that many listeners out there will be in stern agreement with you. And, of course, myself, you know, I mean, a long time here now. But Colombia is like that. It is exotic, but also it is something that hooks you, like as you said. But you're here in your capacity as an art expert and, you know, fine art experts and art historian and so on, and you know these artists. And I looked at your website, sandrahiggins.com, so www.sandrahiggins.com. You mentioned Ofelia Rodriguez, you mentioned as well there Maripaz Jaramillo, you mentioned Carlos Hakanamihoy, I don't know if I can get it right,
yes.
Omar Castañeda, Lucas Posada, but these aren't, I mean, aside from Hakanamihoy. Aside from those, aside from him, the rest of them, to me, are not, you know, sort of household names. Is there like a dearth of information about Colombian artists, or am I just looking in the wrong places?
Well, first I would like to go back just a little bit. I don't
of
think
course.
Maripaz Jaramillo would like that very much, because she's very much very prominent in the museum collections and
excellent.
In the arts center here in Bogota. I began in a very unusual way, I suppose. Maurizio Rodriguez, the former ambassador to London, was a very good friend of Ofelia and Rurik Ingram, her husband. And so when I came that first year, as I mentioned, I was sent to visit Guillermo Londoño, if that means anything. He's an artist who lives in Candelaria, and he knows everyone. And he has a studio at the Nieves Studios. Yeah. And so my journey was made so much easier by being introduced personally to all of these artists. And I did an extensive survey that first year of all the places they sent me. So this is kind of how I, at that time, identified the artists I wanted to work with. And Guillermo was going to introduce me to Carlos Hakanamihoy. And I decided I would go to Mambo. This is 2013 myself. and I would walk around because he had a major show there.
Okay.
And he was being interviewed by Alvaro Mendina, the curator, and I walked up afterward and just said hello. And of course, in the generous way, generosity that he always exudes, he said, "Well, come along with me now. I'll show you the exhibition." So there was the most wonderful opportunity to walk around the entire show with the artist and the curator. So I, once again, I'm afraid I was hooked. I did my dissertation on Kandinsky.
Okay.
So obviously I took one look at Carlos and I thought, this is, you know, this is what I consider the Colombian Kandinsky. Not in all ways, because Kandinsky didn't have that figuration, didn't have the symbols, the language that Carlos puts in from his flora and fauna, but basically the color, the form, the spontaneity. So he was for, oh, I guess I've worked with him now for, well, 2 years, off and on. I've had a show of his at my home in Chelsea. I've show from my home, a little salon. I helped him show his documentary, which is very important. I think I should say that, I don't mean this in a conceited way, I hope it doesn't sound like that. I'm not the ordinary dealer, curator, advisor. I'm a frustrated anthropologist.
Okay.
So when I accompanied this past year, when I accompanied Carlos to Santiago, Putumayo, and saw his family, I also took up the banner of trying to look at racism in Colombia, which does exist. And I helped him screen his documentary, Cuentos Cortas, both in London, and then he went on to screen it in Paris as well.
Fascinating. You went out and down there to Putumayo.
So oh,
I've
yes.
never been to Putumayo. It's one
yes.
of the few places on my list.
Yes, yes.
And he took you down into the, you know, to the heart of his
yes,
family.
Yes, oh yes. I went with a filmmaker. I've begun a documentary on Carlos, but I'm going to expand that to include many more artists and many more regions. And Carlos, I think, is a mentor. He's an example of what can... what an indigenous person can achieve despite all these challenges that he had to face. But yes, we flew down and I read all my papers and I thought, no, the airstrip at Pasto can't be as small as they say. But it is.
Yes, it's known for being dreadful.
And then as we flew by the inactive at that moment, but the volcano that could be active at any moment, and if it were active, you couldn't land. So we circled around and we landed on the airstrip, and I thought, well, this is it, you know, we're here. But the drive from Pasto to Putumayo was the most nerve-wracking thing I've ever done.
That's the trampoline of death, isn't it?
Probably.
I think it's called the trampoline of death.
Probably.
But they've done a lot of work now, so I think it's...
Well, I'm afraid the road was washed out in some places as well. So, you know, it was white-knuckle time hanging on to the... No seatbelts, of course. You know, just get into this kind of like van and go. And then we stopped for lunch at one of these beautiful lakes as you're on the way. And, you know, we got there and it was, honestly, it sounds, you know, corny or romantic or whatever. For a girl from Chicago via London to suddenly be in the middle of Putumayo near the Amazon. And we did take a bus with all the family. It was wonderful. Like 30 people piled onto this bus screaming. We picked somebody up. And it was absolutely a dream. It was fantastic.
Well, that makes you an all-terrain person, though. I mean, I know you're talking about Chicago and London, but to jump into the van and from Pasto to Putumayo and so on, I mean, that's all-terrain. That's talk about roughing it.
It's something else.
Well, now I don't think you're going to have any problems anywhere else in Colombia, because that's like the most extreme, I think.
Oh, do you think so?
I think so.
Well, I don't know. I was talking to, what's his name, Fabian Moreno, another indigenous Indian, beautiful work. I was talking, he's Amazonia. And I said, oh, well, I visited with Carlos. I said, I'll come with you. He said, uh-huh. He said, just a minute. It's a 4-hour flight from Cali. Then it's 3 hours by canoe into the jungle. And I said, well, maybe not.
No, yeah, that's a different story.
I'm not quite sure.
Well, where is he from? No,
I don't know exactly. I've only met him just the other day.
It's a 4-hour flight from Cali. It's a long way away.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's maybe I've got that wrong. Maybe it's a 4-hour boat ride and 2 hours from Cali. I'm not quite sure. But he's from some of the most remote regions in Amazonia. I mean, that's another story. Mm. But these self-taught artists are incredible, absolutely intuitively painting the flora, fauna, the animal life, because they've seen it so much, it's in their memory.
But it's like, as you say, as a frustrated anthropologist, that must be the most interesting thing, the self-taught, and that,
yes,
you know, these people who just, they feel the art, and yes, it's part of them, it's part,
yes,
of their very identity, as you,
yes,
say.
No, absolutely. Well, I did briefly, when I was in Chicago, I also got involved in, Chicago is one of the heart of outsider art, mm-hmm, in the United States. So I got very involved with the outsider art movement there. And then when I began a PhD, which I never finished, at the University of Kent, mm-hmm, in the UK, with Roger Cardinal. And Roger Cardinal wrote the seminal book on outsider art. So I've always been, and taught art for a while in the States in a progressive school. So I'm very, very interested in creativity. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea, and Kandinsky, who had synesthesia and could hear color. Mm-hmm. So it's this overlap of senses and the natural intuition of artists that I'm very interested in.
That's very interesting indeed. Now, this progressive school, was that in New York as well?
No, that was in the United States. It was actually a Dominican school. It was run by a Catholic order.
Wow.
It was supported by an electrical company called Westinghouse.
Yes.
And what I had to do was create learning activity packets.
Yeah.
So I had levels in my class. I had maybe four different levels of ability. It was not graded. It was pass or fail. And so you found the brighter students helping the slower students. They would get a learning activity packet. They would invariably choose one that wasn't up to their level.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would realize they could do better and better and better. So it was a wonderful creative way to work. And I was teaching art, so
yes,
but of course it didn't continue, because then universities came and said, well, what was the grade average? We want to have a number to get you into. And then the parents got very angry, and anxious and angry, because they felt that the school wasn't preparing them for this high-level academic...
The rigors of producing 90% or A's and B's or first class.
Yeah.
And stuff,
yeah. I mean, it wasn't exactly Steiner, but it was close to something like that.
Oh, what a wealth of experience you bring with yourself here to Columbia. I mean, really, I mean, I have to say, it's unusual to speak to someone. I feel a little bit out of my depth right now.
Oh.
And of course, you are friends with all these great artists, and I just think it's fascinating. But you're here. You're working on a documentary. You say
that's
well.
Right. Yes.
We will talk about that further in the next segment. And also, I understand in the period of time that you're here, you're going to be working on a book as well, and it can be something we can explore in the next segment. But if you were to say, you know, let's say, I mean, in all of your knowledge of Bogota, and you've being introduced to the right people, but if someone was coming on the fly to Bogota and wanted to see the art world, where would you point them? You know, because it's not the most open, let's say, the most obvious here.
Mm. Well, there isn't one place that you would point them, that's the thing. I mean, I was asking somebody recently, is there a guide? Do you have an art and culture guide for Bogota? No. So it's not easy, and as I said, I had intro, so I knew where to go. I suppose one would want to go to the Banco de Republica immediately to see their collection. Mambo, I suppose, you know, the major museums. Any of the gallery scene, I mean, I have some favorites. Sextante Gallery is absolutely fabulous. They show wonderful artists. Plus, they have a wonderful old printing presses. In my original life, my BA, I'm a printmaker.
Okay.
So I trained as an artist. So I see a old-fashioned, you know, bed plate press,
there
and I go mad.
A number of them around.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah. So they have this wonderful print studio, and they do editions and books and I don't know, Gallery Museo. I suppose you would go there because they show some of the finest artists. Then there are the area in San Felipe, and of course it's very important. One of the most influential figures now is José Roca.
Yes.
And José Roca was an associate curator of the Tate Gallery.
Yes.
for a number of years, and now he's been very instrumental in redeveloping San Felipe. So there are a number of galleries there, and I think it's just growing and growing. When I come to Colombia, my friends at the Chelsea Arts Club jokingly say, you know, leave it to you to go to the murder capital of the world. And then I say to them, of course, dispelling all that, I'm not frightened. It's not true. I say, do you realize that there are over, and Jose Roca said this as well. As a child, he couldn't walk down the street, okay, but that was years ago. And now there are over 40 major galleries in Colombia, in Bogota, rather. And you've got Artbo each year, International Art Fair. I think Bogota has been voted the 12th most important art city in the world. And nobody knows that.
No, it's one of those things, isn't it?
Well, Financial Times did write about it. That's not nobody.
Yeah.
But the general impression of Colombia is still that it's some drug-ridden...
Jungle backwater.
That's it. And am I going to be safe, you know?
You're going to be fine. And you know,
no, I mean rhetorically. All my friends are saying, you just, you know, be very, very, very careful, you know.
The fact that you come out here and you do that, you're changing the perception amongst certain people.
Yes, I hope so.
It's very important.
I hope so.
It's very important indeed. We'll take a short break right now and we'll come back with Sandra Higgins, who's an independent art advisor and curator. You can see her website, that's www.sandrahiggins.com and www.discoverartnow.co.uk. And we'll be right back after the short break to talk further about Colombian art, Latin American art. And we're back. We're here with Sandra Higgins, who's an independent art advisor and curator here in Colombia, but she's here for 6 months, embarking on various exciting projects. We've been talking to her about, I'm going to say Haka, because I don't want to, you know, ruin his name for all of you out there. But we've been talking about various different artists and Latin American art in general, and Bogota, and it is a very exciting city, because things are happening here, and there is a movement towards art, and there's an appreciation to art as well. I mean, I think. But I want to talk to you. I mean, I know that you are working on a documentary. Can you? And later we'll talk about a book that you're going to plan to work on. But let's start with the documentary and hear a little bit about the plans behind this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that as I said earlier, it really began after I met Carlos Ocanamahoy at his exhibition, and. We began chatting, and I realized all the challenges that he'd had to face in his life. And being this frustrated anthropologist, I wanted to see for myself.
Yes.
So I had been approached by Lorena Savara in London, who is a filmmaker. She was writing for El Iberico at the time and other journals as well. And she said, would you like me to accompany you? I'm going to be doing a course in Cali on filmmaking, and I could fly down and we could meet and we could. And so I said, yes, well, let's do that. So she came along with me, and it was a trip that was important. I mean, we began in Bogota to go back, and we went to Carlos's studio, and we interviewed him about his work and, you know, the usual things, the technique and the importance and his career. But then it all changed when we took the trip to Santiago, because it was his personality changed as well, because it was Carlos, the hero figure of the community, going back to the family home and the other homes that he had built for the family around surrounding. And I was able to see the rural life. I was able to see the school he went to and where he had painted the mural. And when, you know, we, as I said, we piled in this bus, 30 of us, to go off to the Amazon. I'm afraid it was very cold, actually. So we didn't get to get as far as we wanted to. But so it all was very much about the development of this particular person, from the circumstances he'd been involved in to becoming the maestro in Bogota.
Yes.
But now it's gone beyond that, because Carlos has, as I said earlier, screened his documentary, Cuentos Cortos, in London. Great reception. I must say, put a plug in for Ambassador Nestor Osorio, who's the current ambassador in London from Colombia, who could not be more supportive of everything that I'm doing, and also supporting Carlos. When the documentary was screened, he officiated the whole evening and spent the time saying how important this was that this message came across. But now I'm very interested. I mean, we mentioned when we weren't online, we mentioned Medellin, and I mentioned the other cities that I've gone to. So I want to look at now, and this leads us kind of into the book, I want to look at the creativity not only of the indigenous people, but of the stream of talent that there is in Colombia. And not just that artwork that is exported now and is popular in the UK, for example. I mean, that's what I know the best now. But that work that is that artwork that is inherent in the spirit of Colombia. If I mention the name Gabriel García Márquez, everybody's going to say, or the film Magia Salvaje, which I've just seen. That is a beautiful, romantic image of Colombia. But I think there's more.
Oh, yes.
There is the art of conflict, and there are artists now that are doing not literal conflict, but metaphors for the conflict. Omar Castaneda is an artist, a young artist, emerging artist whom I work with, who uses panela as a metaphor for peace. I mean, I will say, I think the peace process is so vitally important because the image of Colombia can be changed once the peace process is complete. I know about the ramifications, the problems, the reconciliation. It's not going to be easy. It may take a number of years, but I think it's essential. Well, Omar takes panela, and he fashions it into, from bricks of panela, he fashions it into silkscreen prints. He produces, rather. He thins the panela, and he produces these images of the drink panela being given to the police officers, instead of having a conflict, a protest, using panela as a gesture of goodwill and of peace. The other side of that, of course, is sugarcane is now a biofuel, and very, very valuable. And I don't have to tell you, you've lived in Colombia for years, the problems about the natural resources, of which Colombia has such huge abundance, being depleted is very, very serious. So there's all these different types of issues, there's the anthropologist again, that I'm taking on board, and I'm looking for work or looking at work that responds in many different ways. Carlos is an example of illustrating the flora and fauna. He is magic realism.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. But there's the other side as well that one has to look at.
So this is all what you're looking at putting together for the documentary, well, the book as well.
Well, the documentary will be my visual statement.
Okay.
And then when I compile all the research, I hope I look for a hypothesis, a strain that I can use. I don't want to go back to Gabriel García Márquez again. But if there is such a strain in literature, then there must be such a strain in the visual arts as well. Now, Carlos met Gabo, and I think they were friends. Ofelia Rodriguez is obviously a product of magic realism. Maripaz Emilio represents Cali, and the salsa and the rumba and the sexuality of the woman. So I'm looking for all these different threads, and then when I find how they come together to present a picture of Colombia today. I don't want a tabletop book that just goes to all the galleries and says, yes, this artist is here and this artist is there, and this is... I want to look at the underbelly, is that right?
Undercurrent
of Colombian art.
I can understand that, and I think that's of vital importance. It's not, because, I mean, you do a coffee book, it's just a coffee book, a coffee table book. It's just something that's there, and like, oh, you know, and it's beautifully illustrated, but there's not the explanation behind it. And I think that, of course, in a situation, this is the one, of course, you were mentioning, the peace dialogues with the FARC and the hopeful exploratory talks going on with the ELN, it's, you know, this has to give rise to an artistic movement, an art of, let's say, you know, a type of reconciliation, as you say, with Omar Castaneda, but also a type of protest, a type of understanding metaphors exactly as you said. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, when we have difficult eras, it's always been more beneficial to the art world, perhaps not in the terms of galleries and financial, but in terms of creativity. So I think it's very interesting indeed, and for someone of your stature to explore that will certainly make a success of the theme. And
I hope to be invited
to the launch here in Mobile Club.
I hope so.
But I think it's particularly interesting. It's Omar Castañeda, and I think that's particularly interesting using panela, something that's so typically Colombian. You know, unrefined sugarcane blocks to make artwork with. So that's very interesting indeed.
We did a very interesting project in London before I left. We had a panela performance, and he silkscreened onto edible paper. And so we put all of the prints on the wall, and everybody was tearing the pieces off and eating the panela as well. You know, another metaphor.
Destroying the art. Destroying it. So it's something in years to come.
I don't know.
We ate that art.
Well.
This is fantastic. I mean, really, that you've got a lot on your plate here for the six months. I mean, a lot.
Yes, I can't get it done in 6 months, I think.
The book's going to take years, clearly.
Of course,
But equally, just compiling all the information.
Mm.
6 months. That's 6 months of lots of lunches. you're going to live well here in Colombia.
Well, I hope so. I do. Everyone's very friendly and very helpful. And then also I've been thinking about the idea, as I said earlier, you know, the impression of Colombia sometimes is not accurate. So I've been asked, because I lecture at the Tate Gallery and I'm one of the members of the Chelsea Arts Club, you know, the bastion of all the, all the London boozy artists, I should say, because it is, you know, it's a drinking men's club, but anyway. And I've taken these two groups to Pietrasanta sculpture tour, to Paris, Berlin. So I'm very, very interested in perhaps bringing small groups here as well to introduce them to Bogota, Santa Marta, Barranquilla, Medellin. As I mentioned earlier, I was there last week, and they have an amazing new extension on the Museum of Modern Art. It's incredible. But as well as that, a little plug for Medellin, I went with several of the artists, and we went above the city to the Jardín, which is the community project where I believe, I don't know how long ago, but maybe 10 years ago, there was a landslide, maybe it was more recent. 300 people were killed, and so they are shoring up, almost terracing, the land above Medellin for the lower class people. And they have a beautiful park with a park ranger who took us around, and there are all sorts of facilities for recreation. So Medellin is a gem. It's really a gem, and it has some of the most talented artists that I've seen in a very long time. Another one is Jorge... it's so bad at these names. Jorge Gomez Restrepo.
Restrepo's a very Medellin name.
See, it certainly is. My landlady's name is Restrepo.
Okay.
Sorry, I said all the right things. Anyway, you can cut some of this out. I went to his studio, and here is an artist that should be recognized.
Yeah.
His paintings are incredible. Absolutely luscious oil paintings, landscapes, the impasto of the oil paint, you know, massive. And he lives, his studio is about 40 minutes outside of Medellin. Beautiful countryside, lovely, progressive. Many of my friends in London have flats in Medellin.
Mm-hmm.
They much prefer Medellin to Bogota.
Well, it's a happier place. And partially because of the climate. And partially, I think, I mean, I would like to say you're, as a native of Chicago, let's say, so you're saying, you know, a different art movement. I think Medellin has that too.
Mm.
You know, by not being the capital, it benefits
more.
Yes,
the second city.
I think it does benefit in that you can push the envelope out a little bit more. You'd be more adventurous.
Well, and you can maybe learn from the mistakes.
Mm.
I think that's a good example of Chicago that you've just mentioned, you know, New York being a canyon kind of environment of, you know, very no setbacks at all. Chicago learned, and there are setbacks, There are almost 200 outdoor sculptures, including Calder, Oldenburg, Picasso, you know, just on and on. And we've got Anish Kapoor now, Frank Gehry, and the whole waterfront is a museum. They've kind of pedestrianized it all. It's gorgeous. But you see, that's learning from the mistakes. That's Jane Jacobs and the urban planning of America in the turn of the century, and I suppose 1950, Jane Jacobs. But I think Chicago is a good example of what Medellin can now see, you know, having been in traffic for an hour before we met today, you know, trying to go 10 blocks in Bogota. It's that is the one downside, really, is the public transport is horrendous.
It's horrendous. And there's no excuses anymore, really. The city needs to suck it up and do something. We've just had elections, and hopefully the new guy. We'll see what happens. It's a question of money, contracts, political will. Who gets rich?
Yeah.
It's the same old story, unfortunately. Yeah.
Well, but now the other side of it, however, is now that I've been here a month now, and a month last year as well. But I'm in an area that's very leafy and green, and I can walk. So forget about the taxis. Yeah. And there are a lot of parks, and beautiful green areas in Bogota, which I'm surprised about. Really, it's a lovely city. So just IPA.
Yeah, you know. Well, I think if you organize your life to be a pedestrian, then you're fine. If you don't fall down an open manhole cover, but I think you're fine. Yeah. I think that I organize my life to do as a little travel around the city as I possibly can. Sure. That's the truth. Yeah. Unfortunately, you're not too far away from where I live, so. but if you need to commute or do anything of that sort, but you of course are a freelance or independent. Mm-hmm. I am as well, and that's the benefit that we both have. I work from home. If I had to commute like I did for the laugh, I worked for 12 days for the current mayor. And then I quit. It wasn't the commute that made me quit. It was just the chaos and the backbiting and the infighting in a political situation.
Well, that's true of any country.
Yeah, right? You know, that's the truth of it. So
we have our little Boris back.
I don't know a lot about the politics of London anymore, but I think he's probably quite an amusing person to have there.
Well, yes, that I suppose.
Yeah,
won't say anymore.
From like an external perspective,
won't
it's that
anymore.
Mop of hair. Yeah. So if we take Latin American art, going back to the crux, you're an expert in Latin American art, or you're learning.
Well, I'm learning, yes.
You're
I've only been doing it about 5 years now. So.
Yeah. If we take Colombia, we've talked a lot about Bogota and Medellin, and we've mentioned Cali, but are there any other sort of areas, well, aside from, let's say, Jaca and
Putumayo
jungle influence, Cartagena's influence, it was like an Afro, is there anyone from, like, let's say, more different backgrounds, let's say, or on the Chocó, on the Pacific coast?
I haven't gone to Chocó yet, you see, so that's a... And I haven't gone to the region where the Oscar Morillo is from. I believe, I shouldn't say, because I can't remember the exact town. You know, he's probably the most important young emerging artist from Colombia, who's been discovered by David Zwirner and is making his name in New York and other places.
Caribbean or the Caribbean side or
no. He's the Atlantic side.
Okay,
see,
But then there's a community called Palenque, San Basilio de Palenque.
It could be
where it's a bastion of where escaped and freed slaves set up their own.
I know community. That. I know that because Ana Mercedes Hoyos did the show with Novecenta Gallery about the Palenquera. Is that correct?
Palenquera.
Yeah. Muchas gracias.
Sí.
Yes, and it's a shame. I only met her once. She was an extraordinary person. We had a very long talk, and we had made plans when I came back to see her again. It could be in that region. I know that it's the region where they produce chocolate. because part of his exhibitions are always about chocolate.
Okay.
And so he had his whole family flown to New York to recreate a chocolate factory in the David Werner Gallery. So
it'd be further north, I think, but it would be on the Caribbean Atlantic side, but up towards Urabá, where there's a chocolate plantation.
Could be, yes. So there are a lot of regions I haven't been to yet, which is going to be part of my book that I have to go and see. Another good friend is Fernando Mantaño. He's going to soon be the principal ballet star at the Royal Ballet in London. And he and Carlos became very good friends. Carlos Akanamahoy, when Carlos showed him his documentary in my home. And he's also faced, Fernando, similar challenges. I think he's from near Cali. No, I could be wrong. But he's another figure of Colombian talent that has been exported. He is a patron of Children of the Andes.
Yeah.
And so he raises money regularly for Children of the Andes as well.
They've just changed their name.
To Children Changing Colombia.
Yeah, I know them quite well.
Do you?
If he's a patron of that, did he come through their system then? Because I know they had projects that back dance in poor areas of Cali.
You know, I don't know.
I went to one of their projects in Aguas Blancas, which is a place which is so run by drugs and gangs. Mm-hmm. But right there they have a studio which is training kids up in anything really to do with dance. So it's very exciting.
Yes. Well, there are any number of Colombian charities, which I got involved with Caring for Colombia, which is the child of, or the founder is rather, Gigi Macanaw del Glis, who's based in New York and London, and her husband is French, so spent some time there. Anyway, we actually had an event with Carlos, which we exhibited his work at her home in Grosvenor Square, and we raised money for Caring for Colombia. That particular project was Biofutura, and I think that is in Bogota, and that's to provide resources for children after school here in Bogota. But she also has a dance program outside of Cartagena.
There's Restrepo as well has a dance program in Cartagena called the Cuerpo, Colegio del Cuerpo.
That's right, yes, yes.
And so that would be interesting as well up there. Mm-hmm. But there's so much going on.
Yes,
I mean,
there is.
We've clearly covered a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there is, and I think that's the key reason I'm here, is that it was all right to be bringing Colombian artists to London and introducing them there and exposing them to collectors and my friends and colleagues, getting knowledge that way. But it's another thing for me to actually come here, live here, make myself more knowledgeable about what's going on so that I can take back, you know, a clearer message, really.
And Colombian art will benefit greatly from this.
I hope so.
I think so. I think you're doing a fantastic, I think it's almost a charitable work, because, you know, it's not they're not giving it away. You know, you're here, you had to give up your flat in London, come over, you know, take up a flat here. So I wish you all the best in this endeavor.
Well, thank you very much. People like you who support me, that's very important.
Well, I hope someone's listening to this out there. Maybe we become a patron, you know.
That would be very nice, very nice. I do think Colombians have to realize that, just what you said, I think we do need more patrons, not just me particularly, but we need the support of corporations, of individuals saying, yes, we want Colombian art and culture to be exported.
Yeah.
It's expensive, it's difficult, it's complex, but it can be done with the right people helping.
Everything's possible. As you say, todo es posible, nada es seguro.
The
truth of it.
Si.
Well, I think it's fantastic, and I thank you for your time and for sharing your knowledge and your projects and whatever. And if there's anyone out there interested, you know, you can get in touch with Sandra through her website, sandrahiggins.com, the blog as well as discoverartnow.co.uk. Everything's up there. You can see links to former exhibits and your gallery and so on and so forth. I really have been out of my depth with such an expert in the art world. I'm just good at talking. It doesn't mean I know anything.
Okay.
And it's been a real pleasure to be able to talk about this, because it gives me a sort of renewed enthusiasm for Colombia again. You know, sometimes when we get down in the dumps, like you say, an hour to go 10 blocks, but then you hear something like your story about the art world, it's like, you know, it's going somewhere.
Yeah.
It's going places. So, I, again, thank you.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
You're most welcome. So, I've been talking to Sandra Higgins, and this has been Columbia Calling. If you want to get in touch, that's columbiacalling@gmail.com. And, of course, we've got our website, columbiacallingradio.com. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. But, of course, if you want to find out about Sandra Higgins, just check out the Facebook page, because we do put up all of the links there and on Twitter as well. It's all there. I hope you've enjoyed the show, and don't forget to tune in next week. We'll have another interesting interviewee, and we keep pushing the good news about the Columbia. Thank you again.